This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Sweeping layoffs began at a number of government agencies as part of President Trump and Elon Musk's goal to cut the size of the federal government. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
These cuts are just beginning, and federal workers tell me they've been given no notice, just told to get out and leave. And some of these workers, they're telling me that they're also worried about their colleagues. They say that they were already understaffed and overworked before all of this started.
90 million Americans on alert for extreme weather. Parts of the West Coast saw several feet of snow. 6 feet fell at Mammoth Mountain in California. Ski patroller there was seriously hurt after getting caught in an avalanche. 3 Israeli hostages released by Hamas after more than 16 months in captivity from the October 7th attacks. Israel's released 369 Palestinian prisoners in exchange. Pope Francis spent Friday night in a Rome hospital. The 88-year-old admitted for a chest infection. The Vatican press office said he had a quiet night. This is ABC News. Alabama's advanced a bill that would expedite Medicaid coverage and prenatal health care for low-income pregnant women in the state. ABC's Chuck Sievertson has details.
State lawmakers across the South are trying to address rising deaths at birth among babies and mothers. The Alabama bill says Medicaid will pay for a pregnant woman's outpatient medical care for up to 60 days while her application for the government-funded insurance program, Medicaid, is being considered. The bill passed the Alabama House of Representatives unanimously. The state Senate considers it next. Republicans praise the bill as pro-life.
World's top-ranked men's tennis player Jannik Sinner of Italy has accepted a 3-month suspension to settle a doping case. He twice tested positive for a banned substance. He said he was inadvertently treated with it. But the Australian Open champion will be eligible to play at the year's next major, the French Open, which begins in May. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Mayor Johnson, we used to have a saying called the switcheroo. Talking about one thing while behind the scenes there's a greater issue.
This man was elected president of the United States to focus in on making everyday life more affordable. But our push to remove lead service lines, our health department, are impacted by the things that the Trump administration have targeted since they've been in office. Yeah, it's been a huge switcheroo. It's not been about saving folks money. I mean, this is going to cause more pain.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Conservation groups are criticizing the Trump administration's new review of all oil, gas, and mining on public lands. Suzanne Potter reports.
New U.S. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum has ordered a 15-day internal review of these sites, which conservation groups warn could be a first step toward altering their boundaries to allow fossil fuel and mineral extraction. And yet, Daniel Hart with the National Parks Conservation Association says this would do little to address the energy emergency recently declared by President Donald Trump.
The timeline from starting a lease sale until oil and gas is pumping and then refined and into the markets is a long time. It would not immediately do anything to lower gas prices.
In the past, Carrizo Plain National Monument on the Central Coast has been eyed for oil and gas development. Other national monuments in California whose boundaries could be reevaluated include the two newest, Chuckwalla and Satitla National Monuments, along with 13 others across the state. Hart says these public lands are crucial for wildlife habitat and recreation, and he points out they pump billions of dollars into the outdoor economy.
They protect both natural and cultural resources. They are a great place for our shared histories, but also the public benefit. They support the outdoor recreation economy, especially in rural states.
Across the U.S., 24 million acres of public land are already leased to oil and gas companies for fossil fuel extraction, with over 12 million acres under active drilling. The NPCA says key monuments that risk losing protections include Devil's Tower in Wyoming and the Dinosaur and Hovensweep National Monuments in Utah. I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisories continue with flurries and snow showers and an inch or two of accumulation with a high in the upper 20s. Still some flurries and snow showers tonight, cloudy and a low near 10, gradually clearing for tomorrow but colder, a high in the mid-teens. Currently it's 19 degrees.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend's headlines and give a preview to the spring primary election on Tuesday. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, hitting cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
The good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, I love that. I'm awake. I just had some of their coffee right now just to reawake. And Wendy sent me a TikTok or something with some doctor saying that if you take a nap every day, you're 68% less chance of having a heart attack.
Oh.
And I'm going, is that true? Well, I'm going to pretend it's true and maybe do two naps a day.
There you go. There's a more reason to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of sleep, we were together on Saturday, and those 1,000 booths turned into hundreds of booths. And
they sure did.
We had a great time running into a lot of people and just hanging out, and time went really fast.
Yeah. So Robert's talking about the Minneapolis Community Connections Conference that we were so grateful to attend and be a part of, exhibiting this past Saturday at the Minneapolis Convention Center. And I think like all week I was telling people there was going to be over 1,000 vendors there. Turns out I just don't know how to read a map. And there was like 100, but there was still, it was packed and there were so many people. That was my first time that I can remember being at the Minneapolis Convention Center. So it was a great day. They had a lot of great food vendors as well. Powwow Grounds coffee shop was there serving up some Indian tacos, fry bread tacos that are always amazing. And the Minneapolis crew, the city of Minneapolis crew and Christine McDonald put on a great day for us. So thank you all for doing that.
Hey, you know what? And one of the most important things that happened too, Haley, was that we found the car right away when we were leaving.
Oh, yeah. Because I took a picture.
Yes, yes. Right, exactly. We have some horror stories, Wendy and I, from that parking ramp where, well, we'll talk to it. I'll talk to Wendy about that when she comes on this week. Sure. Also, couple things. Enda Young's powwow was awesome at Johnson High School. Got the chance to go there a Saturday night and saw a lot of great pictures and videos over the weekend. And I don't know if we want to get into this before we have Dr. Stately on, but I just want to say that the Super Bowl halftime performance did not react to it like a lot of people did about how they couldn't understand what was going on. I waited for like the experts to chime in so I could see what I saw, and it was very interesting. There was a lot of hidden messages and a lot of hidden messages there that were – I'm sure the young ones caught, but I'm like old and I had to have my hearing aids on and things like that. So we'll probably talk about it this week and break it down a little more, but I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, I watched the Super Bowl as well, and I was pretty pleased with the halftime performance in Kendrick Lamar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you're right, a lot of symbolism in there, and I'm sure I could gather some of that symbolism up and we could talk about it later on in the week.
That'd be great. Upcoming events that we know here in the Twin Cities, and that's on February 12th, the MMIR screen printing at the Minnesota Indian Women's Resource Center in the Twin Cities. Go down there, bring your shirt, do it up, or come in and help out. They'll have shirts. And I think just get in there and help out. And it's always a lot of people on out there, and they have the scarves and things like that with the MMIWR logo. Exciting times. And it's from 10 to 7 on February 12th.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So, yeah, grab your bandanas, your T-shirts this Wednesday at MIWRC. Head on over there. That's going on all day. Screen printing with Rory Wake 'Em Up and Wake 'Em Up Productions. And then also going on the same day, Wednesday the 12th, we have the round dance going on at the Minneapolis American Indian Center in the gym. And that'll be Wednesday from 6 to 9.
Wow. We can go there right after the show.
I hope so. That's my plan for sure. So bring your sweetheart to that round dance, and you could even, you know, put on matching regalia if you want. Or I know couples do that, and it looks really cute.
Where Wendy and I always wear matching shirts and things. So maybe we just got new T-shirts from that bar in Manhattan that we go to watch Vikings games, and maybe we'll wear that one.
Oh, cool. That'll look good.
February 14th, Valentine's Day, MMIR March in Minneapolis, and then we'll get back into St. Paul for the Magnet School Powwow, Sweethearts Powwow from 6 to 8. So I'm pretty excited about that, and we've had some guests on just recently about the march and how it's a little different. It looks like there's going to be speeches and things happening before the march, which it's usually the after the march. So that's very cool. And they're mixing it up a little bit. And so there you go. Meet me down at the, you know, where I'll park at my secret parking spot when I go to the march on Friday.
Yeah, so the MMIR March, Missing and Murdered Indigenous Relatives, is a march that happens every February 14th here in Minneapolis, and we march to honor our missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, men, boys, Two-Spirit, and LGBTQI+ relatives. It's always a good one. Dress warm. It will be cold in Minneapolis this Friday.
I like the way you said cold.
Minnesota. Cold, like a true Minnesotan.
True Minnesotan.
But yeah, you mentioned that sweetheart powwow going on Friday night from 6 to 8, and that's at Ames, American Indian Magnet School.
Yeah, and she's a former high school teacher and been to many of those powwows, and it's awesome. And it's the school's been remodeled and more of a Native look to it with the big circle cafeteria and things like that. So it's very cool. Also on the 14th, Valentine's Day, if you feel like it, there's a comedy show, Big Auntie Energy, with Trish Cook and Deanna Standing Cloud from 5 to 8 in an Indigenous Roots Cultural Center in St. Paul. Free event. Someone on Facebook was scamming tickets for it. Don't tell it was me, but it's a free community event, Haley.
Yeah, so I wanted to throw that in there. If you didn't catch Big Auntie Energy at the Parkway Theater this past January, you can catch them for free this Friday, the 14th, in St. Paul, Big Auntie Energy. And yeah, I saw this morning someone was trying to scam people for tickets, and they were quite expensive tickets for this. And we just want to remind community that this one is free in St. Paul with Trish and Deanna. So thank you, Trish and Deanna, for putting that on.
My goodness. Hey, and then also I see that our president's daughter, Brittany Greendeer, was on the world stage with the Westminster Kennel Club dog show that was happening And her dog, Ducky, the Aussie, congratulations on receiving recognition. Us Ho-Chunks love our dogs, and we love them in ceremony.
Yes, we're proud of you, Brittany and Ducky. Hope y'all did well. I'll have to look up and see if they placed. I should have looked that up.
Yeah, well, it's cool. I mean,
very cool.
It's fun. It is Monday, and we're talking like community events, like a community radio show. That's pretty cool.
Hey, ho, wow. And we're going to have Dr. Stately up next from Native American Community Clinic. And also, we're going to have our friends Heather Miracle Fahey and Pam Gokey back. And we're going to be talking about the John Bobolink Powwow Healing in Four Directions coming up on March 9th, I believe.
Yes, we will. And hey, you are listening to Native Roots Radio. And I was at a meeting today, a different meeting, community meeting. And one of the things I'd really love to end our show with is carry your medicine with you. And I just want to say that right now, everybody out there, all our friends and relatives, carry your medicine out there. There's things out there happening, and we need our medicine more than ever.
Right. Very true. Thank you.
Hey, we'll be right back. Native Roots Radio. I'm awake.
Eagle 1490 AM.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term, and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underley or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hello, and welcome back to Native Roots Radio. Geez, we should have talked a little slower about all those things that are happening around Turtle Island here in the Twin Cities.
We're still waiting on Dr. Stately.
Yes.
He'll come.
Well, did you happen to check out the Super Bowl? I guess that's something that's kind of, we were watching in the background. Wendy made us a Thanksgiving meal, and we just kind of hung out and watched commercials. Any commercials or anything that you liked?
You know, I think there was the one with Caitlin Clark, or there was one talking about women in sports. I think
the Nike one.
I think it was Nike. I can't remember off the top of my head, but. I wasn't really planning on watching the Super Bowl just because I'm such a big Vikings fan and I'm always sad that we're not in it, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah.
But you know, a lot of people were boycotting the mascot, the Chiefs. And I'm totally on board with boycotting that as well. You know, we're not a mascot. You don't have a chief out there in Kansas. It's the chop to Robert.
Yeah. Heard that a few times, but there was no reason to do it because they got their butts kicked. But it's crazy. So I guess I'll switch gears a little bit here. The orange one wants to get rid of the penny. Mm-hmm. And that's really interesting. I have a lot of pennies and saved up here. And I don't know what's that going to do, save money. There's just so much deflection and weirdness going on there. And But I'm glad judges find Trump's administration, you know, hasn't fully followed the order to unfreeze federal spending, and they're calling them on it and they're playing dumb about it. So there's a lot of complaints about there. I don't know what the judge can do. But, you know, let's keep on top of this. I know he wants to get involved with Hamas. He's Hamas. I mean, he's trying to make them release all the hostages or delay the ceasefire. And that's never good. And
no.
So stay out of their business. And but, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, you were talking about keeping your medicines on you before we went to the break.
Yeah.
And a shout out, Dream of Wild Health. They put out a great cedar tea recipe.
Ooh.
Yeah, Dream of Wild Health. Shout out, 2 cups cedar leaves, 4 cups very hot water, and some maple syrup if you want it to be a little bit sweeter. But bring that fresh pot of boiling water to a boil, and then once it's boiling, turn off the heat and add your cedar leaves, cover and let it sit for 7 to 10 minutes until the water becomes a golden brown color. And then you're going to want to strain the cedar leaves from the water, sweeten your water with maple syrup if you want, and enjoy.
Wow. Dr. Stately, did you hear that? How to make that sweet tea? I know anything's good with maple syrup. Oh, wow. Welcome, Dr. Stately.
Good evening. Sorry I'm late. I'm on my phone and I was having a hard time getting in, so I apologize.
Oh, no problem. Welcome, as always. Appreciate you. Looks like you're at the airport there or in an airplane or something.
No, I'm at Dakota Spartan Fitness. I'm practicing good health. I brought my kids to the gym, and I'm sitting here on the phone with you.
Oh, well, thank you. Appreciate it. And good to see you. And, you know, I got to just get you a proper introduction. Dr. Stately is the CEO and president of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. And he's our friend. And, how are things going? You know, there's stuff happening all the time here, and we got to stay vigilant. How are you holding up?
Oh, gosh. You know, it's kind of the last 2 weeks of January, first week of February have been challenging, of course, with all the new executive orders coming down. I think part of his strategy is to just throw out a pile of executive orders to make everybody just kind of dizzy with, like, confusion and, you know, distract everybody from all the other things that might be going on, you know. Anyway,
well,
the federal funding freeze is kind of like still blocked for the moment, but you know what, like, a lot of people are still having very difficult times getting access to their money, you know, their grant dollars. And I think what a lot of American people might not know is that this is true of NAC as well, is like, those grants operate on a reimbursement cycle. So like, we put out all the cash, right? We pay all of our staff, and we pay all of our bills, and all of the different programs we run, healthcare programs we run for all the various things we do in the community and the clinic. And then we submit a reimbursement request that draw down our federal funds. And that's kind of how that works. So we've already the $500,000 we're trying to get this month is some money we've already spent. So it's kind of just challenging, you know, like waiting, not wondering if it's going to come through and stuff like that. So that's always a challenge. But I know that there's been, I heard that through the grapevine, I haven't read this actually in the news. A friend of mine called me and told me this news, but there's a couple of FQHCs in Wisconsin, in your neck of the woods, where you're from, federally qualified healthcare centers that they had their grants frozen and their funds frozen. And then they are using AI to scrub all their grant documents and all their work plans and stuff like that through HHS and all the various funding streams to scrub them for all those mentions of all the things that that Trump is kind of like basically declared not fundable, not supportable, like DEI and
mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's kind of like, you know, he's weaponized, he's weaponized his whole system there to try and get everybody to. The problem is that, like, I think the big toss up here, of course, is, like, you know, most of the funding for this year has been already allocated and directed through Congress, right? At least through the end of March or April, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I mean, is he legally allowed to be able to claw back funding that Congress has already allocated and directed? That's the big, you know, this is the big issue, the legal issue, right?
Congress has
control of the purse.
We reported earlier that the federal judge Monday is telling the Trump administration, because they haven't fully followed the order to unfreeze federal funding, and they're trying to, you know, to reach billions of dollars of funding, they're trying to get him to do it, and they're playing dumb right now, going, well, we're doing the best we can. And you know, it's a big
I just read an article that said that he's planning on just, like, you know, he's gonna do, like, he's contemplated the idea that he will just not listen to the courts, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, we have other presidents who have done that, but no one's really done that since, you know, I think the last time I heard of a president that did that was Andrew Jackson, who was like, remember the Supreme Court said, you know, you cannot, you know, forcibly remove the Cherokee from their lands. And, you know, the president at the time, Andrew Jackson, said, well, I have control of the army. If you want to stop me, you can try and stop me, right? And he went ahead and did it anyway.
Right.
Well, it's not surprising that he really likes Andrew Jackson. He kind of glorifies him.
He brought the pitcher back too.
It's crazy.
Well, and the interesting thing is there's two things that are happening here. He's dismantling all the stop gates by getting rid of all the federal government people. And so it's a big money grab right now. All the billionaires are grabbing all the money that they can quickly. And the second thing is, to weaken our democracy, which he's trying to do right now. And so we're fighting back with federal judges, but it sounds like what you just said, that he's not paying attention.
What is going to be interesting for me to see is, like, how many people are going to realize it's going to be too late. So many people who voted for him, and I'm not talking just, you know, like the Mexican men and the black men and the, you know, the young people that voted for him, all these people that I'm talking about, probably like a significant number of, like, you know, middle class or very poor white families that live in the Green Belt and in the South, who don't have a lot of money, who also, they have actually, you know, he's going after things like WIC, he's going after things like EBT and food stamps and those kinds of things, all the things that, you know, that support poor families. All of the people who live in the South who, like, have all of those things. If you look at the number of people who are supported by welfare programs and those things, overwhelmingly, significantly more people.
Red states, right? Yep.
Red states, and a significant number of people who are white and poor and live in deep, deep poverty. Like, you know, Joe Manchin's area, right? So those people that all voted for him, good luck when you can't buy a carton of eggs because you don't have any money and they cost $25.
Well, and then we got to keep talking, Dr. Stately, like we have here on Native Roots Radio, because we're out protesting, and now he's got somebody that's a head of military. He'll do it, anything he says, maybe mow us down with a machine gun when we're protesting against him.
Yep.
All right. Well, like,
we're the closest we are to a dictatorship ever.
Oligarch and dictatorship. Dr. Stately, good to see you. Let's get you on again maybe sometime this week, too, when you have a little more time to really. I appreciate you. And,
thanks.
You know, I heard if you take a nap every day, 68% chance of not getting a heart attack. So I'm going to take a nap again.
I take two.
Right on. Pina Gigi, you're doing good. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks. Native Roots Radio will be right back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Sweeping layoffs began at a number of government agencies as part of President Trump and Elon Musk's goal to cut the size of the federal government. ABC's Selena Wang has more.
These cuts are just beginning, and federal workers tell me they've been given no notice, just told to get out and leave. And some of these workers, they're telling me that they're also worried about their colleagues. They say that they were already understaffed and overworked before all of this started.
90 million Americans on alert for extreme weather. Parts of the West Coast saw several feet of snow. 6 feet fell at Mammoth Mountain in California. Ski patroller there was seriously hurt after getting caught in an avalanche. Three Israeli hostages released by Hamas after more than 16 months in captivity from the October 7th attacks. Israel's released 369 Palestinian prisoners in exchange. Pope Francis spent Friday night in a Rome hospital. The 88-year-old admitted for a chest infection. The Vatican press office said he had a quiet night. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Brandon Woodruff back on the mound. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. At Brewers spring training in Arizona, pitcher Brandon Woodruff throwing 20 pitches for the first time to batters after having surgery on his shoulder back in October of 2023. How did it feel?
Felt great. When you can kind of break down, obviously I was nervous, jittery. Like, I mean, it's the first time in a year and a half, but I felt good. I think it went a lot better than I expected to, which was I needed this. I needed to face hitters. I needed Bowers, and I needed William to step in the box. You know what I mean? Like, you got a all-star steps in the box, the first hitter you've seen in a year and a half. I mean, you can't help but get a little adrenaline going. So it was good for me. Got some good feedback, and now it's just recover. Like, go recover and get used to doing this again.
NBA All-Star Weekend, the Bucks' Marcus Johnson named a finalist for the Basketball Hall of Fame. The final vote to be announced in April. Bucks head coach Doc Rivers did not make the cut. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisories continue with flurries and snow showers and an inch or two of accumulation with a high in the upper 20s. Still some flurries and snow showers tonight, cloudy and a low near 10, gradually clearing for tomorrow but colder, a high in the mid-teens. Currently it's 19 degrees.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. While attacks on democracy norms ensue in Washington, state legislatures have also been busy. We have updates from Utah, Kansas, Indiana, and the contested North Carolina Supreme Court race. Voting Rights Lab reports that the Utah House is considering HB 300, which forces mail-in ballot users to deliver their ballot not by mail, but by hand to an official polling place where an ID can be presented. The elderly, disabled, and other voters for whom returning by mail is their only option would need to seek special permission. HB 332 would withdraw Utah from the Cooperative Electronic Registration Data Center, the subject of far-right conspiracy theories. The Kansas Senate passed SB 4, which requires receipt of mail-in ballots by 7 p.m. Election Day to count, rather than the current 3 days after. An Indiana Senate committee advanced SB 284, shortening early in-person voting from 28 days to 14 days, ending at noon the day before Election Day. The full Senate passed SB 10, ending use of school-issued student identification as ID for voting. In North Carolina, a district court judge dismissed a claim by a state Supreme Court candidate that in a race he lost by 734 votes, as many as 65,000 voters were ineligible. A federal appeals court may revisit it. We've linked the Voting Rights Lab tracker at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Let's rock some local music this weekend on Max Inc. Join us as we welcome Kaylin Cole and Lexi Liu, plus Yanni and Rocker will stop in for a visit. It's Max Inc. Saturday and Sunday evenings at 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Governor Walz. Thank you for listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. And we're going to be talking to Heather Fahey, a Mohawk Nation and registered pharmacist, a medication therapy management provider at M Health Fairview, and Pam Gokey, who's Ojibwe, and youth service director at American Indian Family Center. I just want to say a big peeny gigi. Thanks for coming on. And Heather, Wendy says hi.
Tell her hello.
I will. Welcome, you guys. We're talking about a powwow coming up on Sunday, March 9th at Johnson High School. And I think it's really important, Pam and Heather, to talk about the person that this is named after.
I totally agree with you, Robert. I do have a little background if you'd like me to share. I certainly would like to do that.
Yeah, let's do it. Put those cheaters on.
Yeah. I just wanted to let you know that John has been in the educational program here at the St. Paul Public Schools in Indian Education for the last 20 years of his life. He received his bachelor's at Augsburg. He went to college at Augsburg, and I believe he received his bachelor's at Metro State. And he earned a master's degree in educational leadership over at the U of M. He was an amazing father. He had children, grandchildren, plenty of nieces and nephews, many, many friends. And I believe the children that he worked with and served were his children as well. He was a very welcoming man. He would bring you into the community, let you know that you're welcome. If he had a tea in his hand, coffee, food, he would hand that to you and say, welcome to the community. Mm-hmm. And I came to this community in 2013, and I always felt like I was at home when I was sitting at the Indian Education Building here in St. Paul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And Heather, one of the things that I have to say about John is that, I was a St. Paul public school teacher for 30 years, and I was on the parent committee in St. Paul. And one of the things John never did was hold a grudge. And he was always very cool because, we had heated discussions about our kids, and it was, but all sides were like, what can we do best for our kids? But, Job Bobling never held a grudge, and that's something to be said in these days and people in, I just have to say that.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. I only knew John for a few years. But I have kids in the St. Paul Public School Indian Ed program. And then I did get the opportunity to work with him in our work at M Health Fairview. And exactly like you said, Pam, he was so welcoming, so open. You just really felt at home in his presence. And when we kind of offered this idea of M Health partnering to host a powwow, which is a little odd, right? We're a health system, we're hospitals and clinics. Like, why are we involved in hosting a powwow? He was like, yes, you should do it. Like, he didn't say, no, that's kind of weird. Like, he was like, absolutely, you should do that. And so we are, we are honoring him because he was on our planning committee. He was the first person to say, yeah, let's go ahead and do this.
Yeah. What's interesting, Pam, is that I spoke up at his wake at the Indian Center, I believe it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the things would be great if we could name some school or something after him is what I proposed.
I love that idea, Robert. you know that he was always there for the kids. If I could share a real quick story with you, there was a mother that called me a couple of weeks before John had passed and asked me if I could find a tutor for her child who lived out in Cottage Grove. And I said, I'll do my very best. So I was looking for the tutor, you know, and then I did find a tutor. I called her up and she goes, my tutor, I don't know what she goes. I just have to share with you that John Bobolink was my son's tutor. And he, you know, what I'm trying to tell you from the story is that he didn't care where the kids were located in our state. He didn't care where they were located. He wanted to help them and get them through school. And this was a young boy that was in junior high and he was struggling. And he tutored with that young man right up until he couldn't tutor anymore. So John was all about our kids. He was out there and he wanted to get them to get through school and for all of us to work together. That's why I believe that's why he didn't hold a grudge, because we were supposed to be there for our children.
Yeah. Absolutely, Pam and Heather, Pam, I know that first heart. Whenever there was anything that went down at the school that I taught at, he was first boots on the ground talking to the principal and finding out what was going on and advocating for our people and especially our young ones.
Yeah. Yeah, he was there all the time. And like I said, with that welcoming gestures that he had, he just made you feel so at home. So I was one of the lucky ones to be able to have gotten to know him and was a good friend of him. And I'm going to miss his voice at the powwows. And seeing the powwows.
Yeah, it's amazing that you say that too, because it seemed like it was a couple weeks before he passed. He was helping MC a powwow, if I remember right.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and I went and asked him how he was doing, and he was, like, really honest with me. He said, I'm not doing well, and, just a few weeks later. And these are people that we have to amplify and talk about and have powwows named after them because of what they've done in the community, Heather. And I applaud both you guys for really spearheading this. This is a big deal, and this is needed in our community for healing, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, I certainly cannot take credit. One of my partners in crime, Monique Nelson, she's our cultural broker at M Health Fairview, and she's housed out of American Indian Family Center. This really was her idea, and I think that she really sees this, I should say she brought the idea forward, and she was probably the first to just have this vision that this is a way to invite that healing, especially in a healthcare space, to build up some of the trust, so that we are there in community, we are building relationship with community, many of us are community members, and so. Just to know that it's, you know, like with M Health Fairview, you know, not only are we building relationships with our partners, but we're not just this big sign on a building, right? Like we are real people with real connections, and we want really to just strengthen the relationship and know that when healthcare is needed, that this is a place that can be trusted.
Yeah. Hey, we're here with Heather Fahey and Pam Gokey, and we're talking about honoring John Bobolink Powwow, Healing in Four Directions, on Sunday, March 9th at Johnson Senior High School. I taught at Harding for many years, and so we always had a big rivalry with Johnson. And I was just at the powwow last week. It's a great place and great parking at Johnson High School, Pam.
Yeah, just to mention that, most of us volunteers, our staff and our vendors are all going to be parking in the back of Johnson High School, and our visitors will have the front of Johnson High School parking lot. Hopefully we can get that thing filled up to the max and then onto the streets. That would be really nice. So this Sunday, March 9th, Grand entry is at 1:00. Our feast is at 6:00. Last year when we did our feast, we had lunchbox or, you know, boxes of food. So that mm-hmm. way the people that our community could either take the food home with them or sit at the table and have a feast. It was their choice. So I'm really excited about this powwow this year. I'm not sure if I believe our MC, let me put my readers on.
Hey. I never take mine off.
Our co-MC, I don't know if anybody knows where this is going to be. It's going to be at the Johnson High School, Senior High School, and that's in St. Paul, and it's 1349 Arcade Street. And our co-MCs are Jerry Dearley and Deanna Standing Cloud.
Very cool. Nice. Very cool.
And then our head dancers are Dennis Gilbert, who is, I believe, John Bobolink's nephew.
Yep.
And Afton Delgado. And then we've got co-host drum group, which is it's a youth group, and they're called Painted Elk Singers. And we are trying to honor John's vision of keeping our children involved in the community. And so this is what we're really striving for. One day, my vision, and I think John would approve it, is that have the kids do a committee, be on the youth committee and start working these powwows, and maybe even just have a youth powwow. Have them run it and have them do everything. So let's see what happens with that. Because I think our kids are ready to do that.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. And and you know, too, John was really involved with, we used to have monthly powwows in St. Paul Public Schools too. And we talked about earlier, I believe the 14th, there's going to be a powwow at American Indian Magnet School too. So we got the indoor powwow season happening. We're really excited about this. And you guys want to hang on for another quick update before we let you go? We got a break for commercials here. Pay the bills. All right. All right. Keep those glasses on, Pam. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back after this short break. Please stay with us. Ho-wa.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Every story matters, and the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Rob Dees, the Madison artist and educator, adds his own twist to Black History Month.
For me, it's always a responsibility to be Black History every day. I appreciate the month, and I'm going to celebrate it to the fullest, but it's also an importance that to be Black History every day.
Rob lives what he says, too. One example, mentoring troubled kids who embrace their own stories and share through the power of hip-hop music.
Trying to get kids to really understand their story is important, their struggle is important. I've often heard the word inspiration associated with what I do, but like, my biggest hope of inspiration is to inspire others. And I feel like these babies are the future, so we gotta inspire them.
Rob is lifting up the next generation while still honoring the past. Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. We're here with Heather Fahey and Pam Gokey, and we're talking about honoring a John Bobolink powwow, Healing in Four Directions, on Sunday, March 9th at Johnson Senior High School in St. Paul. Welcome back, you guys. One of the things that that's kind of come up here, and it's pretty interesting, too, Heather, when I've seen you in the past, you've been tabling for a blood pressure, and you always have really long lines, and so, you know, how much trust when healthcare professionals and do natives have? And I know you're native, so it's easy to come up and get blood pressure, but how is that and how does that work?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of reasons why a lot of our community members don't trust the healthcare system. Of course, it goes back generations and generations. You know, this is a system that was really not built for us. And we have not traditionally been included in, you know, really any of the implementation or, you know, a lot of like the data that goes into evidence-based medicine. Our ways have not generally been included or thought of as valid. So I think to some degree, a little bit of exposure therapy hopefully helps. Yeah. I do think that it makes a difference when you see somebody who is working in the field, who looks like you, has a similar background to you, has some of, you know, the same stories. Obviously, you know, I'm Mohawk, which is not traditionally from Minnesota. Actually, really thinking back to John, when I shared some of my family stories, I can see his head nodding, just a lot of the same kind of family histories. So I think it's one helpful way to build a relationship, you know, to see, like I said, see someone that looks like you, and then to know, like, if I have a relationship with that person and I say, like, okay, well, it seems like, you know, you need a little bit more than just a blood pressure check here today. And I can recommend to somebody that I trust, that's hopefully getting things going in a positive direction. But I think, you know, to touch on that as well, there's not a whole lot of Native people that I know in healthcare. We are doing a lot of work currently. I can say even personally, like within the mHealth Fairview system, to start to include, you know, Indigenous wisdom and viewpoints and perspectives. Monique and I started an employee resource group where we are called the Indigenous Healing Circle. Cool. So really, yeah, it's a space for mHealth Fairview employees who are Native or Native allies. You know, first and foremost, just to connect, because I can tell you, for most of my educational and career journey, I've felt like I may be the only Native person in my spaces. Wow. Whether that's true or not, you know, I don't know. But it certainly felt that way for me. So we wanted to have just a space where we could start to connect and just to know that each other are there. And a lot of the employees are on their own, you know, learning and kind of their own journeys. Right. Of connection. So we wanted to create a space to connect within the system, but then also to be able to connect with community. So right. we are also involved in contributing to the powwow, hosting different events in community throughout the year. We partnered with St. Paul Public Schools, with American Indian Magnet School, AIFC, towards the end of last year, to help host one of the community nights. And we did a drum and dance teaching, because when we hosted the powwow last year, we had a lot of people, you know, from whether they were Fairview employees, or just community members that we know that had never been to a powwow before. Wow. So we wanted to offer the opportunity for people to come and learn about, you know, what is the significance of the drum? What is the significance of some of the dances that you saw when you were there? Just to be able to, again, like, put some of those, you know, connecting the dots and putting some of the pieces together, just to strengthen, I think, any of that connection, whether you're a Native member of the community or not.
That's awesome. Wendy always told, or I asked Wendy years working at Fairview and asked her about the, because she could never really talk about who she'd see, but she always mentioned, she always would ask what nation they're from, and that would knock a brick down. And then she'd say that my husband's Ho-Chunk, and that would knock down a lot of bricks that, you know, we're not trustworthy because of our past history. And so it's great to have you look like us and also our allies that know about us and that we can trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of the work that we're doing within the employee resource group, but then also just system wide, we're working on Native health equity initiatives so that we can spread awareness, so that anybody can come in from the community and, you know, for example, like we're working on a smudging policy, which is shockingly harder than it should be, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But like we want this to be a place that, you know, if somebody's in the hospital or, you know, they're in a space where they want to be able to smudge, our policy is the answer is yes. You know, they should never be told no. The answer is yes. Might have to make a few movements, you know, like maybe the exact space you're in can't support that because of, you know, can't have an open flame like near oxygen tanks and things like that.
That's open.
Right. But that's the thing is we want it to be like we're changing policy. We're educating across the system so that when people come in and they ask for those things, they're not that the answer is never going to be no, or I don't know what that is. Like, that's not an acceptable answer.
Well, I had an all Native homeroom and we smudged all the time, but just in the last year or 2 years, the St. Paul Public Schools has made, under John Boblink's direction, be able to smudge. So that's cool that you brought that up. One thing I want to do, Pam, before we let you go, the show is ending here. Is there anything happening, and there always is happening, at your work, and what's happening in the next week here?
Okay, let me just run through this. We usually carry a full, we usually do a full moon ceremony once a month. So this Wednesday, we'll have a full moon ceremony out at Belwin. And then we will host community sweats. We hosted a youth sweat. We were supposed to, usually the first Thursday of every month, we have a youth sweat. The first Friday of every month, we have a women's sweat. And then every other Thursday, we will have a community sweat. So our ceremonies, we have a teepee out there. We have a shed and lots of food all the time. Ceremonies, we believe that this is a way of healing. Really quick, I know that we have to leap here in a bit. But, you know, John Boblink, he was a pioneer. I don't want to say a pioneer, but he was the face of education for us and for us to help and trust education again. So Heather, you guys are on the right track of going out there and being in the community, being that face for Minnesota Healthcare Fairview. John did it for our education here, and the trust is beginning.
I just add, he's definitely an inspiration, I think, to the work that's happening.
Right on. And we'll be talking more about the powwow, the honoring John Boblink powwow on March 9th as the days and weeks come before. Thank you so much for coming on, and we'll get you on again. This is Native Roots Radio. Remember out there, carry your medicine with you. We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Earl Ingram.
We'll be driving to a significant moment in American history with a special Black history lesson featuring guest historian Professor Bob Harvey. Later in the show, we'll also welcome Reggie Jackson.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. On social media, President Trump said the U.S. will back the decision Israel makes, referring to his call earlier this week for Israel to end its ceasefire if Hamas did not release all hostages by noon today. Hamas has released three in exchange for more than 300 Palestinian prisoners. The president and Elon Musk's goal to cut the size of the federal government is underway. Job cuts at a range of agencies, including the Department of Energy, where lawyer Corey Kurzan-Mata lost his job.
It seems to be pretty haphazard. There's no consideration for the mission. There's no consideration for whether or not this position is critical to the department.
A memo of understanding obtained by ABC News shows that male ICE detainees will be housed in units in several federal prisons across the country, and Pope Francis remains hospitalized with a chest infection. This is ABC News. New information emerging from the probe in the last month's mid-air collision between an American Airlines regional jet and an Army Black Hawk helicopter that killed all 67 people on board both aircraft.
NTSB investigators say they have now confirmed through data the Black Hawk helicopter was flying at an altitude of 278 feet above the 200-foot